Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mishulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Tonight, we find out how close a killer can get to their victim in wearing you. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Harold Tobin walked into the doctor's office carrying a small red and white cooler, the kind someone would take to a job site for their lunch. He was dressed in overalls, a white shirt, and a black cap. The office was nothing fancy, some potted plants, generic oil paintings of serene scenes, and calming light green paint on the walls. There was an aged leather couch with what most would consider to be too many pillows, and a matching chair. The doctor stood next to the chair, notebook in hand. He was a tall Latin man in his 40s with short brown hair, kind eyes, and a well-trimmed beard. "Welcome, Mr. Tobin," the doctor said with a smile. "Oh, please call me Harold." "Okay, I will. Please take a seat. I'm Dr. Adam Perez. Do you mind if I record our session? It makes it easier for the notes," the doctor asked. "Is just doctor okay?" Harold asked as he took his seat. His voice was audibly nervous. He'd been unable to sleep for several days. "Of course, you can call me Adam or just Perez too. Whatever makes you comfortable." The doctor's reply to this question was well rehearsed. Meeting a new patient was always exciting. It's the main reason he went to school for psychiatry, to help people. "Okay, thank you. And no, I don't mind if you record," he replied. Harold had rough hands, the kind that had seen a lot of long days on the job site. His complexion was sunburned red for the most part. Working outside had aged him. "All right, Harold, I see here you've been suffering from nightmares as well as you wrote split personalities. It's affecting your work and sleep. Can you tell me more?" "It all started about 3 months ago. I started having nightmares about my job. I'd be working and suddenly I felt out of control, like someone else was running my body. Then it felt like it was happening in real life. I'll talk in other people's voices and freeze when I really want to move. It's frustrating." "That sounds frightening. Tell me, what kind of work do you do?" Dr. Perez was already jotting down notes. "I work construction and maintenance around the city. Handyman for hire, but I've also worked on large building projects." Harold rubbed his calloused hands together, never sitting fully back on the couch. He glanced around the room, wondering about how much it cost to be here for just 1 hour. "You seem very nervous. You're safe here. You can tell me whatever you want. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help," Dr. Perez reassured. "Would you like something to drink?" "No, I'm just worried that they will come out soon and cause me more problems. They already cost me a job on a site I was working. They say the most insane things." "Now, Harold, we don't use the word insane. Tell me, who are they?" "The people in my head. I was working this job a few months ago, like I said, and I just blacked out." "That's not true. I could still see out my own eyes, but I had no control over my body. The words coming out of my mouth were not my own. It was frightening. Then I started talking in their voices. Sometimes it was a man's voice or a woman's voice." "Do you have names for these people who you talk through?" "No, I've only heard their voices." Harold looked down at the ground suddenly. "You're saying these voices in your head are voices you've heard outside from other people?" The doctor pressed gently as he scratched notes out on the paper. "Yeah, you know, this was a bad idea. I can't talk about this with you. You seem like a nice person. You're not like them. I don't want anything bad to happen here." Shaking his head, Harold got up and started for the door. "Harold, please sit. I'm here to help you. This could be a very severe condition called dissociative identity disorder, but we need to dive deeper to be sure. It's nothing to be ashamed of, and I can help you. But you need to trust me," Dr. Perez said gently. Harold stood at the door with his back to the doctor. He spoke in a falsetto voice. "He's lying to you, doctor. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He just wants to get rid of us. You're in danger." "Who am I speaking to now?" Dr. Perez shifted his seat. Was he in danger? Harold turned back to Dr. Perez and took a more feminine stance. "My name is Bernadette, and the man you're talking to, he..." "No!" Harold's voice yelled. He went back to his own posture. "See, I can't do this."
"Harold, please sit down. You need help."
Harold walked over and sat. "Doc, it is so hard to have them with me all the time.
They fill my head with their lives and dreams. They make me feel guilty about my life. Harold looked down at the floor. He was obviously embarrassed. You said these were real people's voices, strangers you've met. Where did you meet Bernadette?
She was a waitress at the Lenny's.
Bernadette's voice broke through.
He's lying. We met at a bar. I was working at where he...
No! Harold's natural voice returned.
Doctor, please, you must stop this. What can we do?
Harold, I think the best course of action is to check you into a facility that specializes in psychiatric care just for a few days to monitor your condition and come up with a treatment plan. This is not going to be dealt with in an hour-long evaluation, and I'm worried about your safety.
No. No, I can't go to an asylum again, Harold said before a new, much lower voice came out. You're in trouble, Perez. He's unstable. He's losing it. I'm Charles, and he...
The voice trailed off. Okay. I want you to take slow, deep breaths. Try to focus on my voice. I want to speak to Harold. Tell me, how many voices speak through you? Dr. Perez spoke calmly, trying to take the stress out of the room. He had seen this condition before, but never had all the personalities shifted between one another so fast, and they were all agitated.
Four, Harold said meekly in his natural voice again.
He looked up. Tell me about the last person who spoke.
Charles. He was my friend till he died. Then I started hearing him in my head.
How did he die?
He fell three stories onto a pile of cement blocks. He didn't die right away either. He screamed for 30 minutes.
The ambulance showed up 5 minutes too late, Harold said quietly. I'm so sorry for your loss. Did you see when it happened?
Yeah, I did, Harold said before his voice shifted again. You're lying again. You were the one that pushed me. You murdered me.
Charles, I need to speak with Harold.
Doc, I'm telling you, he's lying.
Charles, I need to speak with Harold. I can help all of you. Harold returned to the front of his mind.
I'm here. I'm not lying.
I don't think you are. I think you blame yourself for your friend's death, and you took on his personality to punish yourself.
It was an accident. One second he was smiling and talking, the next he was gone.
I understand. That's a lot to work through. You'd said that you didn't know any of them?
I didn't. Not really. Save for Charles, who I don't like to think about. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep my mind together, you know? I've gotten to know them on a much more personal level since they started living in my head. They talk all the time, telling me what their hopes and dreams were, what I stole from them. I never used to have this issue. I would do my work and that was that. But now I'm being haunted. I can't get away. I won't go back.
There's no record here of you being admitted to a psychiatric facility of any kind. Are you sure you were in one?
Yeah, I was there. I think they closed it down.
And you speak like all these people from your real life are dead. I thought Charles was the only one who you were close to when he died.
I think I killed them all, but I didn't know any of them like Charlie.
It's all so murky. A new voice came to the front. It was lower.
Tell him all of it. Harold's voice returned. Shut up!
Dr. Perez was getting nervous himself. He didn't know how much of this was hallucination and how much of it was real. This seems to be a psychotic break, he thought. He had to try to get to his panic button to alert the authorities. It was the safest option. If he had killed people, Dr. Perez needed the police anyway. He had to report it.
God, he wished he still had a secretary. His next patient might already be out there.
You're okay. You're safe. Start from the beginning and tell me everything, Dr. Perez said.
But our hour is almost up.
Don't worry about that. You're in crisis. Give me just a moment so I can clear my schedule. Dr. Perez got up and went to his desk. He pressed the panic button under the lip while pretending to look for his phone. He took out his cell phone and messaged his other patients that he had an emergency and put it back into his pocket. He did all this trying to exude calmness. Finally, he went to the door to make sure no one was waiting. To his relief, no one was. He then sat back down.
You said from the beginning? Well, I was 14 when I killed the first one. She was on her way home from school. She was in my math class. I had asked her out, but she said no. I got angry, but I realized she was right to say no. She was an angel, a real one. I had to set her free. Just before spring break, I waited for her to go in this alley that was a shortcut, and I grabbed her. I slit her throat. Harold said all of this in his own voice while looking at the ground. I've forgotten her name. It doesn't matter. Dr. Perez knew at that moment it was real. Harold was a serial killer. The recorder was on. He just had to keep this man calm and talking. The police would be here soon.
Why did you kill her, Harold?
I loved her. I love all my victims. They need to be in heaven, not in this cesspool of a world. She was perfect,
Now she always will be. He was still looking at the floor. She was a trapped angel. Does she speak through you too? Nah, it's like I said, it's only been the last four that do. They're overwhelming me. How many people have you killed? The doctor glanced at the clock. Any time now, guys, he thought. The fourth young femme voice with a slight accent Dr. Perez could not place spoke. He's killed 27 over the past 30 years. I was his last victim. What's your name? Dr. Perez, it's me, Tony Salazar. Tony? No, I'm sorry. He met me at an event downtown I was hosting. He seemed nice. We hit it off. We went out a few times. I told him how much you helped me. Just 3 days ago, he attacked me at my house. I was still alive when he tore the skin off my face. Now, Harold was looking directly at the doctor with stone-dead eyes. No, this can't be true. Please tell me you didn't hurt Tony, please, the doctor begged. I did. They were one of the angels, and I must know what it feels like to be one of them. Dr. Perez's eyes filled with tears. Anger and grief swelled up in his throat, but he had to keep his cool. He looked at the clock. Where the hell are the cops? They should be here by now, he thought. You keep saying angels. What do you mean? Dr. Perez asked as he fought through the shock and fear. Perfect beings, like you. Harold, no one is perfect. We all have our faults. Everyone is human. No, that's not true. There are angels among us, like Tony and Bernadette and you. You all need to be in heaven, not here. What if God wants us here? Dr. Perez inquired. Why? To make sure his people are safe. Nah, that's not what's going on. You don't have your powers. I bet you don't even see that you're an angel, but I do. You're all trapped here for some reason. I'm helping by freeing you. What if you're wrong? What if you're going against God through your deeds? Dr. Perez took a risk and pushed. He knew at any second Harold could try to free him from his earthly bounds. That's a lie. Don't say that. I'm doing the Lord's work. He wants me to send his angels home. Doc, be careful. He's not thinking straight. He has a plan for you, Bernadette's voice said. Bernadette, I need to talk to Harold. I'm here, he returned to his original voice. Harold, I understand what you're going through. We can get you help. Killing people is wrong. Your justification is from years of an unchecked mental condition. You need medication and therapy, the doctor said firmly. I don't want meds. The voices are real. You have to believe me. Harold's agitation grew. They're not, though. They're products of bad chemistry in the brain, nothing more. We can treat you. Do you really want to keep killing? I have to. That's why I need your help. Harold looked back down at the floor. He's still lying. He's not schizophrenic. He's just evil. He enjoys killing, the lower voice insisted. You're not going to make it out of here, Doc. Why? Asked Tony. The voice trailed off, and Harold looked up and yelled, Will you all be quiet? Harold, all these hallucinations are part of a larger mental condition. Reality is in flux for you. It can be hard to know what to trust, but I promise you I will do everything I can to help you. The voices are not just me talking. They are real, Doctor, and I can prove it. How? Play back your recording, the part where Tony spoke. Dr. Perez did so. When he heard it, his blood froze. Harold was not lying. Tony's voice was right there. Somehow, his victims were speaking through Harold. When the doctor played the recording, instead of Harold's voice in a higher register, it was Tony's actual voice. He stopped the recording. His hands had violent tremors. Harold, what the hell did you do? I started wearing their faces, at least the last four. I wanted to pretend to be them, live their pathetic little lives, but they won't get out of my head. All day and night they talk, telling me I'm an animal, a monster. There's no quiet moment, no relief. You have to help me get them to shut up. I want my life back. You're the real Harold, said Dr. Perez. You were lying this whole time. I thought I was good at seeing through people's masks, but I fell for yours, hook, line, and sinker. If you don't see angels when you kill someone, what do you see? Pray. Dr. Perez hated everything about that one simple word, especially how it sounded coming out of Harold's mouth. People were nothing to this person. He'd never dealt with a violent psychopath before. Maybe that's why he had missed it. But he had to try something to stall just a little longer. I hate to tell you this, Harold, but the police will be here any moment. I pressed the panic button earlier. This stops today. Harold chuckled for a moment.
Go ahead, Tony. Tell the doctor.
Harold's body language changed along with his voice.
Doctor, I never meant for any of this to happen. I'm sorry, but I told him about your panic button. He disabled it outside.
How did you know about it, Tony? Dr. Perez growled.
Remember a year ago when I, well, had one of my episodes? You called the cops by pushing the button under your desk. I watched you do it. I swear he forced me to tell him everything. I'm so very sorry, Dr. Perez. I really am, but no one is coming.
Then their voice was gone. Harold continued. It's just me and you and the four idiots in my head. I do have a plan, though. It's simple. I take your face and wear it. You join me here. It will be like having my own personal doctor. You get rid of the others and then yourself, and we're all happy.
That's insane. That's never going to work.
Dr. Perez, I thought we didn't use that word in this office. The doctor's head was pounding. He was going to die here. I might have a chance if I can keep Harold talking, he thought.
Now, since Tony sold you out, I think it's fitting that I wear Tony's face while I remove yours.
Harold opened the cooler and pulled out a freezer bag with Tony's face in it. Dr. Perez fearfully tried to get his phone out of his pocket, but the adrenaline was pumping through his veins and his hands would not cooperate. He looked up at Harold. Tears started to stream down his face as he watched Harold stretch a black elastic band that was attached to Tony's ear skin over his head. He stretched their face over his. It was the most hideous thing the doctor had ever seen. He started to scream uncontrollably.
Okay, doctor, time for your facelift.
Dr. Perez, finally getting control over his legs, jumped to his feet and raced for the door. Harold tackled him halfway there. They both slammed to the ground. The doctor could feel Tony's ice-cold dead flesh on the back of his neck.
That's it. Fight. I love it when people fight to live.
It makes watching the light in your eyes go out so much better, Harold sneered.
Harold, this won't work. If you do this, I'll teach them to really drive you crazy. They will lock you up forever, and I will make you pay.
Dr. Perez tried to move, but Harold's weight was too much. Harold wrapped his arm around the doctor's neck.
No, you'll help me. I will continue my work in peace, or you will be trapped in my mind, and I'll be the one to drive you insane.
This time when he spoke, it was both in his voice and Tony's. Dr. Perez suddenly felt the knife slowly cutting into his face on the right side. Blood started to flow and drip onto the carpet. Sharp pain shot through his brain.
Stop him, goddammit! You can take control of his body! You can stop him! No, you idiots! I was going to set you free! Harold yelled as his body jerked violently off Dr. Perez's back, throwing the knife across the room. No, I'm the master of this body, not you! Stop this! Stop!
But they did not listen. Harold was prohibited to speak. He just lay there frozen. Dr. Perez got up. His heart fluttered at top speed. It took a moment for him to catch his breath.
Charles called out, "We can't control him for long."
"That's okay. I'll take care of it."
Dr. Perez walked over and started kicking the hell out of Harold's head as hard as he could until he was sure the killer was unconscious. He fell to the floor and dialed 911.
"Hello. I've been attacked in my office. Please send the police and an ambulance. Thank you."
Well, I guess Dr. Perez can now take on a new patient. If you're treating someone possessed by four different ghosts, would you charge a group rate? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you like this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.